up, everybody? Welcome into an emergency edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast here on the NBC Sports Boston Podcast Network. And, well, it's not great news. Robert Williams out probably 4 to 6 weeks as he prepares for arthroscopic surgery on that same knee that hindered him throughout the 2022 NBA playoffs, including in the finals. We're coming here just days before the Celtics launch into training camp, and certainly not ideal. Had to get Eddie House on the line, get his quick reaction to the news and what the Celtics are going to do about it. So let's dive right in. Let's talk to Eddie about my Time Lord and trying to rally my spirits a little bit. All right, Eddie, I'm rattled a little bit. You know, my guy Time Lord. It's tough when I hear he has to go back in for surgery. But where's your head at with where the Celtics go from here, and just your initial reaction when you heard that Rob's going to need surgery for 4 to 6 and miss up to 4 to 6 weeks here after the process?
Well, I was kind of bummed out just because I know that he's been working hard trying to get back. But it just lets me know that he wasn't all the way right. And it's better now than later, right? Because I think you do it here at the beginning of the year, beginning of the season, you can make sure that he gets fully healthy, okay? Because if he doesn't and he comes back and hurts it again, it just hurts the team totally. So I think they take their time with it. I don't think that there's no rush to try to get him back. I think that you make sure that he's 100% before he comes back. No, not like in the playoffs where, you know, he rushed back and it just did not look like himself and probably injured it some more. And that's the reason why they're revisiting it. You know, that's just my speculation. I'm not sure of that. But it's an opportunity for guys to step up, though. You know, Al's going to get some more minutes. You know, you might not want to see Al get many more minutes because the fact of his age, right? But, you know, guys are just going to have to step up. I think we might have to play small at times as well. So, you know, kind of bummed out about it, but at the same time, it no better time than right now.
Yeah, and that's where I guess I come down on it is, like, look, Rob put his body on the line there to be out there in the playoffs, and I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, he's so injury-prone and part-time Lord and all this, but, I mean, that dude came back from a meniscus tear and surgery and really kind of grinded through. You heard he had to get the knee drained, so I think he earned some points from, at least from my perspective, for kind of grinding it out. And this is the repercussion, right? Like, so now it's not an ideal situation, but you don't need Rob Williams in October, November, but you really need him in May and June. So I'm hopeful they get this thing right, get him back. Because he just wasn't himself either in the playoffs. Did you feel like that when you watched him, that he just maybe didn't have the same spring, the same juice that he normally does playing those series?
Well, he did his leg, you know, his knee. You, if you play with a certain the way he plays is springy, fast, protecting the rim, moving, sliding his feet, and all those things, and quick jumps, quick second jumps. He was just not able to do that. And quiet as kept, though, to me, Rob Williams was the most consistent player in the finals. Like every single game, you knew what you were going to get from him. Now, he wasn't the most consistent scorer. But he was the most consistent player. You definitely could depend on him to get you 8 rebounds, to block 2 shots, you know, to get 8 points, 6 to 8 points. And he did it consistently. So, yeah, he was the most consistent player to me. And it was it proved to me that he had the heart of a champion because he went out there and did it on one leg.
Yeah. And like, look, I go back to the year before. He was playing in the playoffs against the Nets in 2019-20 season or 2021 season with 9 toes and had 9 blocks in a game. I know that you're always going to be worried about because of his play style and the way that he plays, you know, that he's going to be, there's injury prone, but
hey, what you mean 9 toes?
So he was injured. He had one toe like busted up. He like couldn't even put any pressure on it or whatever. And he still had 9 blocks, Eddie. 9 Damn. Blocks. So credit to Time Lord, but here's the bigger picture. Now Celtics depth chart at that front court position, or at least the center position is kind of thin. You know, essentially, Luke Kornet is your third center, but without Rob, with Gallinari now out with the ACL tear, are you worried at all about the 4-5 position, and how do they bridge that gap until Time Lord's healthy again?
You know, that was a tough one. You know, there's still some guys out there free agent-wise, but it's like, do you bring them in? Are they going to fit this team? Are they going to fit? Is the chemistry going to be the same with these guys coming in? So that's my question. I mean, I think that Dwight Howard is still out there, right?
And
you know, he has size. Would he fit with this team? That's the only question. You know, the style of play that this team plays. he's not a threat how he used to be at the rim, rolling and pick and roll. He still can rebound the basketball, but he's not the same player. But if you're just looking to get spot minutes here and center by committee, and if he's willing to take that kind of role, maybe it does work for October, November, and parts of December until Rob Williams comes back. So, and it's always good to have depth and depth with a veteran. That the one thing about Dwight Howard, he does know how to play basketball. He's been around. He understands how to play the game of basketball. So, I mean, that it could be a look. But then also, I just think it's time. It's an opportunity for other guys to step up. You know, other guys are going to have more minutes and more opportunities to step up and contribute to the team. So I don't know. It's a tough one, man. But again, I think the silver lining in it all is the fact that it's at the beginning of the season. Okay. Yeah. And we got plenty of time for him to get healthy and get back.
What do you feel about Luke Kornet? I know you haven't seen a lot of him in the two seasons he's been around the Celtics, but the team is projecting a lot of confidence in what he can do. Brad Stevenson come out multiple times and said, like, this is a guy who's been around the NBA for 5 years. We haven't seen a lot of it, but he's 7'2", 250. He can give you a physical presence. Would you be comfortable if they try to sort of bridge that gap by just leaning on what they've had? Maybe Luke, maybe Fiondo Cabangeli, who had a good summer league, maybe one of these camp guys like Noah Vonleh finds a spot. But do you think they got enough in-house right now if they try to get through?
Well, that's a tough question because I haven't seen much of Luke Kornet myself. So I don't know what he really can bring to the table. So that'll be a wait and see type of thing. So if they want to, but they've seen him. They've seen him in practice. Yeah. They've seen him working out. So if they feel comfortable with that, then I have to side on the Celtics upper management side, because I feel like they've been doing a great job with getting talent, with pulling talent out, with bringing things together and just pressing the right buttons. I think Brad Stevens pressed the right button. So does Ime. So if they feel collectively comfortable with that, I feel comfortable with it.
So Eddie, just tell me, like, just in general, you know, how are you feeling? Media day on Monday. Well, we can get that into your whole role with NBC Sports Boston down the road, but because people are going to be seeing a lot of you and I'm excited for that, but where you stand on this team and the difficulty of being the hunted now and coming back in after falling short in the finals, how pumped are, how bullish are you on this team? What are your expectations?
I'm excited because the thing is, getting to the finals was one thing, but losing it is a whole nother. It's like, man, you were this close and then you let it slip away. And, you know, Steph Curry kind of took it as well. But at the same time, I think everybody has something to prove. I think they have to, they also, the team as a team, you know, the coaching staff, you know, pressing the right buttons to get back, to make sure everybody's motivated to play every single game, understanding that they all will be the hunted. But I think that the players should also understand that themselves, but because they have, they should have a chip on their shoulder. Rob Williams is going to come back. He has something to prove that he can stay healthy. Al Horford, he has to show that, you know, I still have tread on these tires. Jason Tatum, I am an All-NBA player. Despite the way I played in the NBA Finals, I am a first-team All-NBA player. Jaylen Brown, hey, you guys were trying to trade me? Like, no, here, I'm young. I'm the guy. This team is better off with me than KD, and I'm going to go out there and prove it. Malcolm Brogdon coming in and also being like, you know what? This is a different organization. You know, I've been in Milwaukee. I've been in Indiana. Things didn't work out. I'm here, and I can help this team. Especially, he went on Twitter, I believe, and said, I could definitely help this team in the finals. So he has pressure, not only pressure, but he has stuff to prove as well. So Peyton Pritchard, where are you going to get your minutes from? You know, are there minutes for you to go grab? And when you do grab them, are you going to be successful and contribute to the team? So I think everybody from top to bottom have something to prove. And to me, that makes them the hunters and not the hunted. So that's what I'm looking at, and I'm excited about it.
All right. Well, so we'll get back to Rob in a second, but it is nice. So you'll be seeing a lot of Eddie this season, hopefully. He'll be on our programming. He'll be on Celtics Talk a whole bunch. He'll be on all of our shows. So just be prepared to be bombarded. If you thought you got a lot of Eddie House at the end of last season, and hopefully you enjoy it, and hopefully he continues to try to talk me off the ledge when Robert Williams is injured, and the threat of watching games without Rob's dunks and blocks is out there. So yeah, again, what did the Celtics do here? You know, there's a whole bunch of names out there beyond Dwight Howard, you know, DeMarcus Cousins and LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, I wonder, the Celtics weren't very hot, obviously, on any of those players before this, but now you've had essentially two losses in your front court, one with Danilo Gallinari having that ACL tear in the FIBAs, and now losing Rob for at least the first few weeks of the regular season. So do you think you have enough in-house to weather the storm? I think, again, the Celtics are very high on Luke Kornet and what he can give you, but you know, there's going to be nights. There's three back-to-backs in the first 4 weeks. So let's say they bring back Rob, but they ease him in. He's not going to be playing in back-to-backs in those situations either. So, you know, do you play Al Horford on one night and Rob on the other? You're still going to need extra big man depth. I do think we saw it in last year's playoffs. Daniel Theis came back to the team late, was a depth option. But once Rob was healthy, the Celtics didn't need a third center that often, but you could use him while navigating that first stretch. So can Kornet just be that guy? Can you go small? And does Grant Williams start or come off the bench? You know, those are what the Celtics got away right now. A guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, he has a relationship with Ime Udoka from their time with the Spurs. Ime was pretty pivotal in luring LaMarcus down there to join that team. And so, you know, he's 37 years old. We talk a lot about Al Horford's age. But LaMarcus did give the Nets some minutes last year and was pretty productive, can still score. He's going to hit 1,000 mid-range jumpers if you bring him in here. The question is, especially with the Celtics tax situation, are you committed to a 37-year-old for the duration of the season? Because the only way you're getting the break and the league is paying most of his salary is if you hold him for the entire year. So all part of the balance that goes into it. You might see the team maybe more likely to lean on an inexperienced player who maybe comes in for non-guaranteed money, someone that if they're not going to be here for the season, yet you, it's a little bit easier to cut ties with. Even Luke Kornet himself is on an only partially guaranteed deal, but I think he should feel pretty confident about his space. The other wild card in all this is a guy like Fiondu Cabangeli. Great summer league, you know, former first-round pick. Has an opportunity here really to play his way onto the parent roster at training camp. He's on a two-way deal right now. I'll be very interested to see if the Celtics elevate him, make him one of those top 14 guys that they'll carry into the regular season. Gives him a little bit more security of being on the roster. You can still bounce him to Maine if you wanted to get him reps if Rob comes back and he's not playing a whole bunch, but might just be a little bit more security, a bigger role for him. But again, he's going to have to show it in camp, and the Celtics are bringing in a whole bunch of bodies, including Noah Vonleh, to be part of it. And there's just a chance here for all these guys who have either bounced out of the league or never tapped into their potential. And I still think the Celtics are going to give those guys the first crack at sort of showing what they can do. And look, maybe you get into your second preseason game and you're just like, man, this isn't working. And you need a little bit more depth, and or Rob's recovery is a little bit slower, and maybe then you start to make a move. But I don't think the Celtics are going to overreact to missing some time here. I will say the only concern I have here is, what did we talk about last year? Celtics started slow, and they felt like they were always playing catch-up, and it wasn't until January when they kind of hit the accelerator and got back into the mix, surging from whatever it was, 12th, 13th in the East, all the way up to the number two spot. And so you can't have that happen again, especially if you're going to keep Jalen and Jason fresh and all these starters. You don't want to overtax them at the start of the year and, again, pay the price at the finish line when they might not have allowed a lot of gas in the tank. So I brought it up, Grant Williams. Man, here's a guy who, when Gallinari gets signed and you know, with Rob and Al coming back, like, I wonder if he was sort of looking at it and wondering, you know, would he have the same minute total as he did last year, or how does he take the next step in his progress, obviously emerging as a reliable 3-and-D guy off the bench. Now I think Grant Williams is going to play a whole bunch of minutes. And so I wonder what the balance will be, though. So he played 21 games as a starter last year. You feel comfortable with him next to Al Horford. I think they played about 1,500 possessions together, plus 4.1 net rating based on cleaning the glass data. That's a pretty good sample to feel good about that combo out there. But now how do you stagger from there? You know, you can bring Kornet in, but who's playing the four? Are you just going small? Wonder if the Celtics will skew the other way and move Malcolm Brogdon into the starting lineup. In that instance, you could push Jalen and Jason more to the 4 and 5, which maybe isn't ideal because they'd have to guard bigger positions. But maybe you get away with it because there'd be so much versatility defensively with that group, and Brogdon having size and being able to guard wings and maybe even bigger players. And obviously Marcus Smart can go guard centers in those lineups. So I do think there's ways to get through it. Then you can bring Grant back off the bench. He sort of staggers with Al Horford. And maybe you're just super small for a few weeks while you navigate this, and you still don't have to tax Cotton Jelly or Cornette more than you were hoping coming into the year. So there might just be ways to balance this out. But that also assumes that everybody else on this team stays healthy, that the Celtics do kind of figure out how to play small, something they sometimes struggled with. And again, that you just don't have to lean overly hard on the Jays here at the start of the year to carry you to carry you through until Rob can get back. But no, it's not fun watching games without Rob out there doing Rob things. And I do think you'll see it on the defensive end, particularly. He's just a game changer when he's out there and everything looks a little bit different. But that's why you have to do this. You have to try and get him feeling right. And being himself, because just like I told Eddie, like, you don't need Robert Williams necessarily in October and November. You'd like to have him, but you better have him in May and June if you're going to have a real chance to get back to the NBA Finals and to take that next step and be a title team. All right, Media Day is coming up Monday. I mean, you're going to be overloaded here on the Celtics talk with reaction from the players and like how they're thinking about the season. Going to get a chance to sit down with just about everybody on the roster and talk about the upcoming season. We'll be stacking those in these moving forward. But yeah, buckle up. It was already an abbreviated off season, but it's been fairly quiet here in September. Besides the injury news, it'll be fun to kind of shift the focus to basketball. We got a special on Monday night, reacting to a little bit of media day. I think it's me, Scal, Eddie, Amina. We'll all be in studio. Hopefully Abby will be part of it as well, and kind of reacting to that first day and getting ready, because Tuesday is the first day of training camp. And instead of me rambling and wondering what the answers might be, maybe we'll actually see it out on the court. So yeah, just go ahead. If you haven't already, like, subscribe, check us out on that YouTube page. Make sure you're ready for the deluge of Celtics content that's coming your way. All right, we'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk Podcast.